Chapter 61. Darrow. The Three Masters. Diomedes and I are escorted into a nearby cell to await the verdict of our sham trial. The cell is stone. The metal door is the cell's only hint of modernity. Another man occupies it. A handsome man with a black eye and a burn from a stun weapon on the left side of his neck. "Oh, it's you," I say to Cassius. "Hello," he waves politely, both hands shackled together. I sit next to him. "What are you doing here?" I ask. "I'm in the middle of a rescue, actually. While it is taking longer than expected, I'm optimistic with regards to its outcome." I don't laugh. "All right, I'm lying. They left some black owls on the Archimedes, and now I have a black spot on my pride and a very black eye." He winces. "The owls are far better at sneaking than fighting obsidians, I'll tell you that." He scratches his beard and ponders for a moment. "Are we all going to die?" A cheer from the daughters in the cavern rattles the cell. "Yes," Diomedes says. "Probably," I correct, annoyed at the man's pessimism. "You talked forever," Diomedes mutters at me, "and looked weak."
"You basically told them to slag off and shoot you," I snap.
The daughters cheer in the cavern again.
"Apparently you both were terrible."
Cassius leans back.
"What a waste of talent. Honestly, it's like a bad joke. We might be the best three razor masters to share a room in the last 60 years, and it's a prison. And not one of us was taken in a straight fight."
Diomedes and I look at each other, each wondering about the other's claim to the title of master.
"Oh, that's right. You two haven't seen each other fight."
"Cassius," I say.
He perks up.
"Yes?"
"Shut up," Diomedes says.
"My good man, it's uncivilized to do anything but laugh in the face of death. Why do you think I'm always so jaunty these days?"
Cassius grins when a third cheer comes, the loudest of all.
"That must have been for my sentence."
I roll my eyes.
"Come, come, Darrow. Am I not allowed to be the best at anything?"
"Fine, you can be the most despised," I say.
"Thank you. Contrition at last."
Even Cassius's false bravado thins, and he goes silent after a while. He doesn't ask, but we all wonder what's taking the daughter so long. It's Diomedes who breaks the silence.
"I did not need you to speak for me," he says.
"What?"
"You impugned my honor," he says.
I stare at him. After a moment of anger at the man's unbelievable pride, I shake my head and look away.
"Why did you?" he asks.
"Lives saved,"
I reply, mocking his laconism. Cassius snorts a laugh. Diomedes is not amused. I take Pax's key from under my shirt and hold it between my hands.
"It's not for the cell," Cassius says when Diomedes perks up at the key.
I close my eyes and send a prayer to Pax across the void.
I'll not get my book or letter, whatever it is, to him now.
But maybe Severo will. And maybe he'll hear this prayer and know that I thought of him in the end.
"It was the Cestus," Diomedes says.
I look up from my prayer. He's staring at the floor.
"Calliche."
I sit straighter and glance at Cassius.
"Go on," Cassius says. "Helios had only just returned from a scouting mission,"
Diomedes says, as if sharing the information is causing him physical pain.
"He boarded, and I transferred the Cestus to him, only it was not Helios. It was an impostor with Helios's limbs carved onto him. The impostor must have used the Cestus to fire on our own fleet."
"An impostor?" I ask.
"Yes."
Diomedes' eyes narrow, troubled by the memory.
"His speech patterns and body mimicry were nearly perfect, yet I sensed something was amiss, the way he apportioned his weight as he walked. I could have stopped it. But I second-guessed myself. I was afraid I was wrong. He snorts at himself. That is why our armada is gone. I did not trust my instincts. You seem to have learned from your mistakes, so I will trust my instincts now. He looks up with dark conviction. I believe my uncle was that impostor. I believe Atlas Aura is the All-Father of the Obsidians and that Fa is his creature. I believe this is repayment for our rebellion and that Atlas will not stop until all of the Rim is burning. He considers. Or starving. I stare at him. Tension coils in my belly. It fits. It all fits. The unseen hand I felt. Atlas was on the bridge of the Dustmaker. In person. He's in Ilium. Diomedes nods. I did not see his face. I have no evidence. But yes. I laugh and laugh. You chose a damn fine time to tell us, I say, and wipe my eyes. I did not trust you before, he says, petulant. I bolt upright and bang on the cell door. Athena, if you're listening, you need to let us out. Athena, Fa will not let you live. Athena! Another cheer trembles through the stone, and a chant I can't quite make out. Cassius turns to Diomedes. Say you're right, and Atlas is the devil himself, as everyone keeps telling me. Why would he do this now? He asks. Why not wait for the Republic to fall? Mars could have been theirs. Inertia, I reply, abandoning my efforts on the door. Atlas would have had to put his plan in motion years ago. Diomedes nods his agreement. Not even he could stop the boulder once it started rolling downhill. And because he knows the Republic has already lost, I admit. Cassius stares at me. It's true, as things stand. Atlas is preparing for the future. It's not just about punishing you, Diomedes. That's not how he works. He's all about closed loops. He'll make the Rim remember fear and pave the way for a savior named Loon. Not Grimace? Diomedes asks. No, Cassius says at the same moment. Lysander's fleet was still on its way out here last we saw, I say. They missed the ambush, Cassius, but they'll arrive in time to play the hero. I know Atlas. All this horror he spread has been under the name of Atalantia. The impalements, the burnings, the pacifications. It makes sense now. He's not a sociopath. He's a student of history. He'll pin all the evil on the Republic and on Atalantia, then take this war to the abyss so a snow-white savior can pull the worlds out into a shining dawn. I laugh. Even the name of the ship is too rich. Selenius the Lightbringer, Lysander the Lightbringer, that son of a bitch. Cassius shakes his head. Lysander is many things, but he's not a monster. Men like Atlas disgust him. He'd never be able to quiet his conscience. The slaughter in Sungrave alone. Look what Lysander did at Heliopolis. The lengths he went in order to save lives. He's a loon, I contend. They're capable of anything, especially when backed into a corner. Oh, so everything is hereditary, Cassius asks. No, what I'm saying is Octavia had him from the start. And then I had him for 10 years, Cassius snaps. He was never like that, not even when I took him from Luna. He gave Virginia the scepter. He was a sweet little boy. How was that sweet little boy the last time you were on Io? I ask. Cassius looks like he wants to hit me. Diomedes, who has been watching us in silence, interrupts. Cassius is right, Darrow. Cassius relaxes, but still glares at me. Lysander is not a part of this. I saw his face on the dustmaker. When the ambush was sprung, he did not know. He recognized something was amiss as I did. Something about the impostor's short sword.
Wait! Cassius turns on him with a frown. On the bridge of the dustmaker? Lysander isn't... with his fleet? He isn't on the Lightbringer crossing the gulf?
No, Diomedes says heavily. His ships were too slow to match our pace and had repairs to do. So he travelled with our navy at my invitation, along with a decade of Praetorians. He was with me on the Dustmaker's Bridge when it fell. Cassius's face falls, and he sinks back against the wall.
Is he dead?
I don't know. I would imagine so. Atlas put a void contraption on my face. I could neither hear nor see. There was just darkness and pain.
He pauses, remembering that pain.
Then I felt someone grab me. I could not smell either. This someone dragged me, and fell themselves. I felt their body on mine. No armor, but a strong build. It had to have been Lysander. There was no other gold on the bridge without armor. They put me in the life pod, and then I felt them grasp at my legs as they got pulled out.
If Lysander was on the bridge, was he not struck by the spines you were, the paralytics?
I say to Cassius's umbrage.
He was. Then how could he move?
I have thought of this. My mother gave him a toxin leech after he was poisoned on Phobos by Atalantia. He was in a coma. He nearly died. It must have drained or neutralized the paralytic Atlas employed.
His tone softens for Cassius.
I am sorry that he was aboard. He wept when he thought you died on Io, and I know you had your differences, but he was the only gold of the Corps who gained my trust, and my mother's, and even, I think, Helios's. He honored his word and was truly a noble man. Had I to grant the credit for that, it would not be to Octavia.
He touches Cassius's knee.
I mourn the loss of his light.
It is the only eulogy that could have given Cassius reprieve from the guilt that's been eating him alive, and it is even a redemption, in a way.
He slumps back against the wall, overwhelmed with conflicting emotions.
Whatever animus I have for Lysander, I feel compassion for my friend, so I shut my mouth and hope Diomedes' words are true.